hello, and good day, everyone. It's Kevin Finkel here, and this is another episode of Magic the First Pioneers Podcast. It's a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk, coming at you live from... Okay, well, not live right now, I guess. I'm coming at you late from the Tokyo area of Japan.
Well, if you're trying to be spooky, maybe your live is that you're actually broadcasting live into their earphones a week later after we record this.
I mean, I guess we still got another week. Spectral voice across the void of the internet.
We got a little more time before Halloween, but we can make this a whole spooky month, I suppose.
Yeah, we had a spooky idea for today, so...
I guess so, yeah. So, this is a podcast about Pioneer. We're going to talk some Pioneer stuff. I've had a very long week. I'm going to try and keep up my usual jovial energy that I bring to the podcast. And you can wow us with your excellent ideas. And together, we'll make something hopefully interesting. What are we talking about today, Ryan?
So, yeah, you know, we talked about the metagame last week. And, we've done kind of like brew episodes in the past and whatnot. And I thought, you know, let's switch it up. Let's change that a little bit. We've had a lot of good standard decks in the past during past standards, and I thought we could maybe take a look.
That is where people usually play standard decks.
Yeah, so I thought we'd take a look back at some of the old standard metagames and kind of see what were the best decks during that time, and then kind of talk about, you know, if we could still play those in Pioneer, and if so, like, you know, what cards would we need to change? What would you update it with, and that sort of thing? So we're talking about dead formats, so it's kind of Halloween.
Well, so I thought your Halloween version was that it's like Ghosts of Standard
Past.
It
is. Ghosts of Standard Past.
I think at first when Pioneer came out, people were saying that as kind of a derogatory term of like, oh, it's just all the, you know, the most powerful decks in Standard being kind of rammed up against each other. And, you know, a little bit of that. I think at the time I was mostly arguing like, oh no, that's not true. Look at all these decks that are unique to Pioneer. Mm-hmm. Now we're kind of going to take it the other way. You know, we've kind of done this a little bit before where we're saying like, hey, this is something that was good in Standard over the last, you know, however many years covering the cards that Pioneer exists in. And is it showing up in Pioneer? And specifically, we're kind of looking at the ones that, hey, how come this hasn't shown up in Pioneer? This was a top list in whatever its standard format was.
Yeah.
I got that about right?
Yeah.
Do we want to just jump off with an example to make it clear we're being like, hey, we're talking about vehicles?
Yeah, so here's what I actually did when I was... I mean, I did a lot of kind of like background grunt work, you know, looking at the past metagames on mtgtop8.com. I like using that website. And they had a list. You could, like, look at all of the metagames from the past. So if you don't mind us starting from, like, the Theros Return to Ravnica metagame, can you remember any of the top decks from that time?
So that's a little bit before my time. I really jumped back into Magic around, like, Fate Reforged.
Okay.
So after that, I'm going to know a lot of the decks. Before that, a little bit. I heard about the days of... We had a lot of devotion in all the colors.
Yeah,
had black, 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 black.
So how about this? How about for this first part, I'll kind of introduce some of the decks that were big back in the day, and then you can kind of just give me some suggestions, and, you know, we'll kind of like try to say how would we make these decks better. Does that sound good? And then once we get back to like the Fate Reforged time, then you can kind of start talking about your decks.
Okay, sounds good.
So I'm going to learn you. You know, about the oldie times, you know, before Fate Reforged, there was this format called Theros Return to Ravnica, and, they had Mono Black Devotion was, like, one of the big decks. Of course, this played, like, Grey Merchant of Asphodel, and it also played the, I want to say, the Underworld Connections, which is, like, a... It's a one mana black enchantment that you pay a life, you draw a card. I don't know if you've seen that before.
Yeah.
It also, I believe Pack Rat was in there, and it was just so oppressive. You know, the one
Night Veil Spectre was another big one.
Yeah. So that was a really big. I think at one point actually people had Whip of Erebos in there as well, maybe as like a two of to kind of like bring back your gray merchants and your other stuff to kind of get that extra, how can I say, life drain and whatnot. So, I mean, should I just go through all the decks first, or do we just talk about one at a time?
I mean, yeah, we'll quick hit on that. So I think that one we don't have to go too deep on. You know, we've talked about how black aggro is one of the top decks in the format. We don't see quite as much of the devotion side of it in a pure black deck. You know, we've talked about though how that does exist in historic. They've just got a couple more enablers that we're missing. Maybe if we got those and you'd see more like Garry show up. But even Garry, we've seen a couple times. The Vampires list was running him. But yeah, what else was popular in that format? What could keep up with black?
So yeah, so black, yeah, like you said, they just need better. They need a few more good triple, double black, whatever cards to really be good again. The other one was Mono Blue Devotion. This one was playing Thassa's. Sorry, it was playing Thassa, the 3 mana 5/5 that makes stuff unblockable. It was playing Master of the Waves. That was the one where you get a 1/0 token for each blue card you have, and it has protection from red as well. And I'm trying to think what else. Of course, a lot more like, sorry, enablers, blue enablers and whatnot. I actually thought this one could be updated rather easily with a lot of the mono blue aggro cards. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think we've kind of talked about that before is that, you know, Mono Blue Aggro was also a really good deck when we had, you know, Dive Down and Sea Stormcaller Chaser, whatever the, you know, some of the more recent Blue Aggro lists. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, that hasn't shown up in a while. The fact that we haven't seen the, like, the blue Tempest Djinn
Yeah, that would be a
at
great
all,
card.
really.
The Tempest Djinn and also like the other the new Merfolk, the 2/2 that taps stuff down.
Yeah, and I guess probably the biggest question is like, are we losing too much by playing only islands? Or like, do we have, honestly, probably what's keeping them down is like, how do they answer Uro? Things like that.
Yeah, probably gotta shuffle it into a library or something like that.
Maybe bounce it, or I guess you're running, you know, four of the thing that puts it on the top or bottom, but even that doesn't feel great. Okay.
So yeah, I think that's something people could look at. I think it could be competitive again. It's just another take on the current mono blue aggro deck. You know, the mono blue aggro deck doesn't really do well against like hand disruption and whatnot. And I think this kind of deck might be a little bit better, especially in a format where there's not a lot of board wipes. It's like a go wide mono blue strategy.
Okay.
Another one that's probably right up your alley, the blue white control during this time was really, really good.
It was. And yeah, that's an easy parallel to Pioneer. You know, we haven't seen a like Sphinx's Revelation as your win con style of blue white control. You know, Dig Through Time just kind of beats it out just a little bit. And you know, having win cons when there's so much, especially when there's so much combo in the format. You know, now that there's a little less combo, maybe you could try something where like you've got a couple Teferi and that's your only win con.
This
But
one,
that could still be tough.
yeah, Sphinx Revelation. You had Supreme Verdict at the same time, and I think they had Elspeth in there as one of their win cons. Just got to protect that, and also Aetherling. I don't know if you know about that card.
Well, I mean, yeah, so I do know about this format pretty well. And kind of the traditional win con was more like Elixir. You know, you would just shuffle your deck back together and eventually the opponent loses. And then they could bring in something like Aetherling in the sideboard games. But yeah, that was a, you know, strong deck at the time. I think that it's tougher when there's a bigger variety of decks like what exists in Pioneer. So
How
we
would you
do see
update
control
it?
decks in Pioneer, but we've seen a little bit less of them. You know, I think
I think this is like one
things
of the
like the
strongest control decks, from past standards.
maybe. I mean, we've been seeing enough control on Pioneer. I don't think we have to go too deep on it. You know, we've mostly seen it now going a little bit more towards Esper or Blue Black even. You know, I think the Esperiorian, things like that, live in a lot of the same vein of this pure control kind of deck.
So it's just evolved. It's always been there. All right, the other deck that I thought is kind of unique. I guess there's kind of a deck like it now. There was a Boros Burn deck back during Theros and Return to Ravnica that played like, what did it play? Of course, Boros Charm was in there. And it also played like the War Leader's Helix, and I believe what are the other good burn decks at the time? Probably Lightning Strike and the Blood one.
Boros Charm, yeah.
The Blood, Searing Blood, and also Eidolon of the Great Revel. So it's basically kind of close to what the It's close to what
red white burn. I mean, we've seen this in Pioneer, the Lurrus burn. Especially when Lurrus was around. Yeah, that made a lot of sense for the deck. Perfectly reasonable. I think that eventually we'll start to see it move away from that. You know, I've said this a few times: is that we're starting to get better red green lands, but red white was a good burn color because the enemy lands were so much better for aggressive decks in Pioneer. We'll see how that changes.
So do you think it'll...
You know, you're kind of hitting on the easy ones here, kind of the decks that, you know, these do exist in Pioneer.
It kind of, I mean, but like this style, yeah. I mean, I would still update, you know, these versions. I would go green just so you have access to Tarka. And we've talked about that many, many times before. Like, I really hope that it goes green once we get the good mana. All right, so that was the first kind of block area... or block decks. I'm going to move on to the Theros Khans of Tarkir, I believe. Maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think at this point, Return to Ravnica was gone. And it was just Theros and Khans of Tarkir. So, Abzan. Abzan midrange. Abzan beatdown. At this time was like 30% of the metagame. And, you know, of course, we've talked about, you know, we want Abzan to be good, but what does it need to be good? Like, what kind of suggestions would you give to, you know, why isn't Anafenza and Siege Rhino and, you know, all these other, you know, one drops, two drops? Why isn't this a good strategy for Pioneer anymore?
I know, it's so hard to say. Like, maybe a little bit of his mana. Mana's still tough in a three color, even... You know, even aggressive enemy three colors like that. I'm trying to put my finger on it. You know, it's just hard to say, but like playing big creatures and some removal, you just don't have any good way to go over the top. You know, if they could play Uro in Abzan, maybe you could see that as an aggressive deck. But like,
I mean, during,
you know, you're going to get outsized. You're going to get better removal from other colors, sort of like, or as good removal from any of the black decks.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be, you know, dealing yourself damage with your lands. You're going to be stumbling over your lands, and you don't have a huge top end.
Is the big problem with Abzan Midrange just that it's a fair deck, and then too many decks these days are just too good on rate? They're, you know, they're two for one-ing, or, you know, they're just gaining you so much card advantage like Uro?
Yeah, that's really it. Like, so many other decks are competing on a level that they just can't do anything against. You know, even the ramp decks in Standard kind of went over it. So when you've got something like, you know, all of the ramp decks playing Sylvan Caryatid and having some ways to just get huge, ways to get Planeswalkers that are very powerful, it just, you know, it's hard to keep up.
All right, here's a good challenge for you. They had a Mardu midrange deck back during the Theros Khans of Tarkir format, and it had about 5-6% of the metagame. It's not bad. So this deck played... I want to say it played a lot of Planeswalkers. It played Kolaghan, the Rush one, as well as the, what was it? The Crackling Doom. Yeah. And it played the...
Which got nerfed pretty hard. We've talked about that.
There was the 2-2 guy with Proas that gains lifelink. He was also in there.
Yeah.
So I like
Soulfire,
that.
Soulfire
was also in there, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
So, I've
Seeker
always,
of the Way, that's the
yeah,
one.
I've always wanted to play Mardu in Pioneer. I just never felt like, you know, it had what it takes. So, like, how would you go about, like, updating? Would this type of build be okay in Pioneer, or would you have to change some things? I mean, this had access to Thoughtseize and, you know, a lot of other good red and black cards at the time.
Well, I think what we have right now is we have the red-black Pyromancer decks doing the most similar thing.
If you're talking about Disruption, yes.
I mean, Disruption and, you know, kind of the same play style. You know, they're big on removal. They've got some sticky threats. They've got some two drops that take over the game. I think that's probably the best comparison. You know, you could look at splashing white, but I don't think you're adding too much to the deck by doing that. I mean, I don't think I would want Mentor in the Pyromancer deck.
I mean, has there been any good Orzhov or Rakdos cards that you think might actually fit into this, like a newer version of Mardu control, Mardu midrange?
Well, or you mean Orzhov or Boros?
Yeah, Orzhov or Boros, yeah, or Rakdos, right? If you're going to for Mardu, yeah. Has there been any good control?
Not really. You know, maybe that's part of the problem is white-black has gotten a bit of a short end of the stick, maybe.
Mm. I kind of feel like Boros is always an aggro color, and we don't have a lot of good mid-range or control-type cards, like Planeswalkers or spells or anything like that. They're always forcing
Honestly, that's one of my biggest complaints, is one of my favorite archetypes is, like, a red-white control, mm-hmm. and I don't think that they've been giving me cards for that kind of archetype in a long time. They've been trash at giving me real cards, and every single time we'll get one red-white card, and it'll be, a 3-2 for two.
Yeah, yeah. Like a Hectra or something, but you know, I like those old style decks that had like Assemble a Legion and just played a bunch of like removal and hand disruption, and you know, they just won the game by like putting in tons and tons and tons of tokens. So
yeah.
But yeah, like I said, we're just missing a couple things. We got of course, if I was going to update this, I would definitely put those Triomes in there. That's definitely helps out the mana, I think. But like,
it depends on how slow of a deck you are, but yeah.
I mean, if it's a mid-range control deck, it's probably fine. But yeah, I think, like you said, it just comes down to not having a lot of a good top-end cards that, you know, like I said, are in black and white, or, you know, red and black, or in Boros colors. Mm-hmm. Anything else? I mean, they had Red Deck Wins. They had kind of like the old style. I mean, why isn't Red Deck Wins good in Pioneer right now? Maybe you can just kind of give me
good
thoughts. Is that the number one reason? I mean, that's kind of like why Burn's not good.
I think that's the number one reason.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the number one reason. You know, Uro... That I can't think of too much else that I'm like, oh man, I can't play Burn because I'm just going to see a 6-6 that gains 3 life and gains 3 life every turn.
Like, if Uro wasn't in the format, would Burn be playable? Would Red Deck Wins be playable?
I think so. I think that could single-handedly make the difference.
I mean, because people are still going to have life gain in you know, other forms. There's going to be Kalatis, or there's going to be Lurrus or something like that. But
yeah, I'm trying to think of what other big like Planeswalkers. Those have been a big problem for Burn for a little while here. I also think that when Burn is good, we have a lot of hate for it. You know, like when Burn was good last season, we would see things like Elder Gargaroth show up, and that's just nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like no way for a mono red deck to deal with that unless they use two burn spells.
Yeah, you know, turn 3 Uro, turn 4 Elder Gargaroth.
Yeah. Ugh. No, thank you. I mean, at least before with Thragtusk, they had the decency to have 3 toughness. But anyways, I digress. So I think that pretty much covers like the Theros kinds of Tarkir block.
Do a lot of digressing.
How about Khans and Battle for Zendikar? So this is kind of like when you started playing?
Yeah, this is when I started playing again. So, you know, if for anyone who hasn't listened to the show before, like, I played when I was really young, played as a kid through high school, and I stopped around Mirrodin, which I think is where a lot of people kind of dropped off, and I was out, I was gone for a long time, and my brother sucked me back in. He got me, I think it was like the battle box, like it was like, you know, 4 sets of the nice dual decks. And got me sucked back in. I started watching, you know, Star City Games on YouTube. So I started, you know, watching broadcast tournaments, and mm-hmm. that really sucked me in. So I got back into playing around Fate Reforged pre-release, I think, and been pretty active since there.
So what memories do you have of that Fate Reforged meta and
Esper Dragons?
Ooh, yeah, that was fun. I don't think they had like a huge meta game. What do you call
it? It was probably the best deck for a bit of time.
Yeah, for like one season, I think. Not for like the whole year.
That was like Magic Origin Standard, I think, was my favorite standard of all time.
Mm. Yeah, I really like the
either Dragons of Tarkir or Magic Origins.
Foul-Tongue Invocation and Silumgar Scorn and stealing stuff with Silumgar. Yeah, that was fun.
Red Black Dragon. We had Heroic at that time, which we have seen now in Pioneer. You know, we've talked before about why like a Dragons deck hasn't been able to show up, and it's kind of just that the Dragons as payoffs aren't quite as good as what control card or what control decks have as an option.
Yeah,
you know, like I'd mostly rather slam a Teferi than an Ojutai.
Yeah, I think if Dragons are ever going to make a comeback, they need to come back in some kind of tempo or, you know, maybe like permission control deck. I mean, like Ojutai was also always really good because the only way to get rid of him was like a board wipe, basically.
Yeah, or you know, Crackling Doom or a few other ways. But yeah, he was tough to get rid of. The other way that I could see Dragons coming back a little bit is if you had some mechanics that let you play more Dragons in your deck without them, you know, being huge expensive cards in your hand. Like a good example would be Eternal Dragon.
Oh. What's Eternal Dragon do again?
I think that's a 5/2 white for a 5/5 Flying Spirit Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
But it has plane cycling for 2, so you can just cycle it from your hand, search your deck for a planes and put it into your hand. And it has for like 6 mana or something during your upkeep, you can return it from your graveyard to your hand.
That's Eternal Dragon. That what set was that from?
Tempest maybe? Let me see.
Oh, okay. I don't know. That's gonna be like Invasion or something. So that's not Stent Pioneer League, but you're saying you won it.
No, that was never Pioneer. Yeah. I was saying if we had something like that. Yeah. Okay, so it was Scourge.
Scourge, okay. I think, what about playing Dragons in, like, a Fires deck or in, like, a Yorion deck? Would that make them playable?
Well, I mean, the big payoff for playing Dragons is Silumgar Scorn, and you don't really want to play that with Fires.
True. So it had to be, like, some kind of, basically,
maybe if we had a blue-green dragon. Yeah. Oh, wow. Eternal Dragon isn't even modern legal. Yeah, Scourge was before that.
Speaking of big dragon payoffs, though, one of my favorite decks from this format was the green-red Eldrazi Ramp deck.
Oh, yeah.
So we had Dragon Lord Atarka. We had, of course, Ulamog was in there. We got Worldbreaker and a lot of other just, like, ramp spells. And I think Ugin. Yeah, Ugin was in there as well. And Kozilek's Return. Oh, it's so good. I love that deck. Absolutely love that deck. And, you know, we've kind of talked about ramp a little bit. Of course, the one with Leyline to Abundance will go down as being the best, I think, green devotion deck in history. Why can't people play like the green red Eldrazi ramp version? Is it just worse than the blue green?
Yeah, you know, we haven't seen it in a bit, and I think that's part of it.
You know, just Growth Spiral's too good, Uro's too good, basically. That I can understand, but I don't know if you remember, but at this time there's actually like a blue green Simic ramp list that played Crush of Tentacles. Do you think that could make a comeback? Or is that just kind of anti-Uro?
Yeah, that's tough to play with Uro. I'm trying to think, you know, obviously playing Uro would be pretty sweet. We have seen a little bit of that kind of deck. We haven't seen Crush of Tentacles, but I'm trying to think if that would ever be playable. I mean, we've got, you know, Oath of Nyssa. Maybe you could play Oath of Nyssa, Crush of Tentacles, and make a Yorion deck.
I mean, Crush of Tentacles is really interesting because it bounces everything back to your hand. It's all permanents, I believe.
Yeah, all non-land permanents.
So I was going to say it's 5 mana for the Surge effect, so you could possibly do this by casting your Uro, and then your Uro goes to the graveyard, and then you do 5 and bounce everything, and then the next turn you have your Uro.
That's true. I kind of like that. Yeah. All right, I'm going to mess around with that later.
Yeah, so something to look at. I think that deck could definitely be updated with you know, a lot of the new blue-green cards. So if people are, you know, starting to have trouble with the blue-green ramp strategies, if they need to think of a new avenue, a new strategy, I would definitely recommend looking back at those old blue-green Crush of Tentacle ramp decks. I haven't had a chance to really ask you if you remember any other decks. I know you had a few you wanted to talk about, but was there any other?
Jeskai Ascendancy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's been missing from Pioneer for a while. You know, for a little while, people were playing my deck, my you know, I'm calling up my deck because I was one of the first people to, or you're probably the first person to ever play the Just Cause Ascendancy Sylvan Awakening deck.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, even, we had a Just Cause Ascendancy combo deck in Standard, which was really good. You know, it had turn two. No, it didn't have turn two kills in Standard, but, you know, turn three kills.
This was the Theros Khan's Standard, I believe.
Yeah, so this is still a little bit older. This was more with. So it was Retraction Helix, which was Theros, so that had to stick around. And it would put it on something like the Sylvan.
Sylvan
Caryatid. Yeah, and be able to just repeatedly bounce something and win that way.
Yeah. Bounce everything.
Yeah, so we haven't seen that. We also haven't really seen Just Cause Ascendancy in any fair decks. I think that it's probably just a little bit too slow for that. You know, token decks when in Jeskai colors, yeah, that's probably just not going to make it. But I am surprised we haven't seen either versions of the combo.
I mean, I think it's... On paper, it sounds good, to be honest. I mean, it has a lot of good strategy. Sorry, it has a lot of good tools that it can use to kind of protect itself now. It has a lot of different ways it can win. You know, you have Sylvan Caryatid back. You also have, like you said, Sylvan Awakening is another win condition. Why aren't people playing this? Why are people... I mean, is... As far as combo decks go, can you still say that Lotus combo is better? Is it still the most consistent?
Probably. You know, it's very hard to interact with lands. Maybe we should give it a try. Like, maybe someone needs to be giving it a try, and that's the problem.
Yeah, no one wants to use their wild cards or their their tickets on buying Just Cause Ascendancy. It's got to be pretty cheap, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have a combo brain, but I might actually give this one a chance. I might see if it's any good. So another one around this time, I think this was like Khan's Tarkir Battle for Zendikar, was the green white tokens deck, and I know you kind of wanted to talk about this as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. So this was such a cool deck, and that was one of those decks where like it seemed like a lot of other good cards could fit in it, but it was so tight. Just good token cards. You know, Archangel Avacyn is a card we haven't seen show up at all in Pioneer somehow. Seems like there's got to be a way for that card to be good, but I don't know what it is.
I mean, the decks that she showed up in haven't really proven their worth in Pioneer yet, I would say. You know, like, we'll probably talk about Mardu Vehicles in a little bit, but she was in there. She was in Mardu Ballista, they called it. She was in green-white tokens. She was in blue-white flyers. I mean, we have all of these ways. Is it just because maybe three damage isn't enough now? It just doesn't wipe the board?
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know.
Is she too slow? I mean, it's a 4/4 flyer with flash that becomes a 6/5 and deals three damage to everybody. It sounds really good, to be honest. I mean, this deck was basically a Planeswalker deck. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oath of Nissa was in there. Gideon was in there. Nissa Voice of Zendikar, I believe, was in there. And then you just had like three different creatures. You had Hangerback Walker. You had, like we said, Avacyn. And I forgot what the other one was. But what does this deck need? How would you update this? I mean, I know they printed that Convoke Celestia deck or Celestia card, the Multitudes. I don't think that's really what the deck wants, though.
Yeah, it's probably something at the lower end of the mana spectrum. You know, you need something better. Just something better to do on 1 and 2 mana. And then probably you would need more ways to interact with the more difficult decks of the format
maybe,
in green and white colors.
Maybe change it to Abzan? Because I know they just printed that new... I want to say it's from the new Zendikar Rising set, the Grakmal. Basically, he puts a whole bunch of tokens into play when he dies, equal to the number of tokens on him. And then if you're playing a deck that has Voice of Zendikar, Nissa Voice of Zendikar and Hangerback and all these other cards, then it's going to be really easy to keep getting tokens on him. People were thinking maybe, hey, let's put him in the, Scales deck, but maybe that, maybe the tokens deck just needs to go Abzan so you have access to like Thoughtseize and things like that. What do you think?
You can give it a shot. That might work. Okay.
All right. There's one other big one from this set. I mean, it's a big card that came out of Dragons of Tarkir. You remember that?
Oh, see, I was going to say, the one thing I was going to say that we really haven't seen any of is Eldrazi decks.
I've seen mono, I mean, not in Pioneer. I mean, of course, back when we played Frontier, there was, like, mono black.
Yeah, and it was always, like, not that good.
And some mono.
I'm intentionally bringing some hate here, yeah.
I mean, mono black was okay, I thought. Mono red, not so much.
We've got other good aggressive black decks. But, you know, we've got mono black aggro. That kind of fills the place with it, with, you know, utilizing
its lands. So when you say Eldrazi decks, what do you mean by Eldrazi decks?
You know, Thought Not Seer decks, Reality Smasher decks, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so more like a mid-range, not so much aggro.
Yeah, kind of a little bit.
And
that's just mid-range. Not being good itself is probably the problem.
Well, here's the thing. On Historic, there's actually some really good, like, no-color. I would say they're not really Eldrazi decks. They're more artifact decks. It plays like Ugin to make all the colorless cards two less and stuff like that. And it plays the big Ugin and a whole bunch of mana. How can I say? Mana rocks. Okay. You know, like Hedron Archive and a couple other things. But I don't think it'd be fast enough for Pioneer, to be honest.
Yeah, that's probably the problem.
And I think as far as, like, I would love to see Thought Not Seer see play again and Reality Smasher, but I just think we're kind of lacking in the playable, how can I say, colorless creating lands, like Pain lands. You only have half of them. Mm-hmm. That really reduces your choices.
Yeah, that's probably it.
What about Company? So we've started to see more and more Company decks now, right? We have, like, the Jund Sacrifice.
A few, yeah. They've been around. You know, we had some green aggressive Company decks. We haven't really seen, like, the Humans Company. Spirits, I think, has kind of gone away from Company. Mm-hmm. So it's been kind of a fair card. I'm waiting for something that just, you know, kind of breaks it.
So, yeah, let's talk about that real quick. What would break Company? Company used to have, it was like 20% of the metagame back during Khans of Tarkir, Battle for Zendikar. You know, because the humans, you had Thalia's lieutenants and stuff like that. You just had such good synergy. That's not good enough anymore, right? Just the human synergy by itself?
Yeah, no, not really.
So are we just, do we need cards that have more synergy? Is that, like, what we're missing?
You need some that are a little less slow. You need ways to get rid of things like Uro and some of the just problem cards of the format. And, you know, you just need to not be taking more risks than mono black is, when right now they have better removal and better disruption.
Well, the new Apparition's not bad, right? The one that just exiles any permanent, and then they get, like, an illusion equal to its casting cost when it leaves play.
That card's pretty good, yeah. So that doesn't have much synergy as far as it's, you know, it's not a human, but it could be a spirit.
Yeah, so
we've been seeing some of that.
I'm wondering, what should we just update Company as, like, a, how can I say, the Company good stuff deck again? Is that the way to go instead of the synergy?
Maybe.
You know, without the synergy, you know, like, just play, like, the Spell Queller in the same deck with Apparition, same deck with Reflector Mage. Like, just go to the tempo, how can I say, the tempo path again.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's how I would update it, I think. All right, so yeah, if you don't mind, I'll just keep naming decks, and you can just keep on kind of, like, giving suggestions. I mean,
shooting them down. Yeah.
So let's move on to, like, the Battle for Zendikar Kaladesh metagame. Do you remember any of the decks, any of the strategies from then? Like, what Kaladesh brought, what Kaladesh created?
Kaladesh brought a lot. So we had Vehicles, we had Saheeli, and there might have been a third deck there. You know, we kind of had, like, the Green-Black Sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, now we're seeing in Pioneer.
Aetherworks.
Saheeli's banned. Aetherworks is existing, and I'm the only one who plays it. So, you know, we've talked about that.
So, yeah, Mardu Vehicles, let's start with there. That was one of my favorite decks out of that format. And
or even White Axe Vehicles, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really sad to see it's not playable. And I think maybe is there just too much hate now, as far as, like, artifact hate? Or is Blue-Red the best, you know, artifact build? What do you think the reason is?
You know, it's a little slow. I think they kind of did need to hit, like, the 3-4 mana planeswalkers and things, and maybe those just aren't going to do it in the world of bigger threats and bigger disruption. I think the removal's a lot better. You know, when we had things like Smuggler's Copter and then Heart of Kieran, mm-hmm. we didn't have Fatal Push. We didn't have a Braid. We didn't have...
When they were banned, right? Not until
even before they were banned. Yeah.
Yeah. The later decks also were playing Ballista, the Mardu Ballista, and not having Ballista as that option anymore, does that just overall make it just
that definitely hurts too. Yeah, that was one of your best two drops. So I feel like I'd want to be something with blue. Like, I feel like I'd want Teferi in this deck, and then that makes it a little bit more mid-range, mm-hmm. and that's kind of awkward. Also the mana in something like an Esper aggressive deck is not good, so that would really hurt it.
So maybe more of like a Heart of Kieran on the back of some really good Planeswalkers.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're going for.
Yeah, but then you lose, what do you lose? I mean, the Unlicensed Disintegration, you kind of go from aggro to more tempo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not really vehicles, but... other deck you said, Copycat, that's never coming back probably, right?
No, we have talked about why that would not be, that would not fly anymore.
Well, talk about Aetherworks. So you said you're like the only person that's playing it. It used to be one of the best decks. It actually got banned out of Standard during this time. How have you updated it? Like, what cards have you been playing around with?
So I have talked about this, I think, on the show before, that there's been a lot of like here and there cards that I think are good enough for the deck. Mm-hmm. I thought Uro was a big addition. That deck kind of already was utilizing its graveyard. It likes the life gain. It likes the ramp. It likes the card in its graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that dies. Big Nissa, like the 5-mana Nissa, is pretty reasonable. You know, again, they want to do big mana. Mm-hmm. It's a good hit, or it's a good thing to bridge you from your early game into your Titans if they're in your hand. Mm-hmm. I liked the Teemer, what are they called? Ultimatum. You know, that one's starting to see some play, okay. actually. In Standard, it was. But, you know, that's just a great hit off of Aetherworks, and pretty much your entire deck is permanent, so it's basically put the top five of your deck into play. Nice. Which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so, like, you know, a lot of things here and there that I think make it a little better. It just recently got the Triome, which is nice. Maybe we should try it with four colors and, in order to play the new Omnath?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something like that. See what can be done.
I mean, the new Omnath would be nice. I mean, there's... We all know that probably the Omnath builds are going to be the best. Omnath plus Uro decks. But...
Yeah, and there's probably better shells for it. For that, specifically.
Yeah, like, for like today's episode, basically, we just want to give people ideas. We're just trying to help people explore the format and to show them what's out there and other options, especially for when formats, you know, maybe get boring to the person and they just, you know, I'm tired of seeing these decks. I'm going to try something else. So, Temur Aetherworks, definitely a fun, variant of, like, a ramp strategy. Scales was another big one during this time. Scales no longer playable because of Ballista. I think that's pretty much all from the Battle for Zendikar Kaladesh metagame. Last mm-hmm. one. The last metagame I'd want to talk about today is from the Kaladesh to kind of M19 Ixalan time period.
Okay.
So we had Chunky Red or Rakdos. Oh, yeah. Aggro. Those are kind of both the same decks. They played a lot of the same cards. They just had access to different removal spells. 24%. Between both those, it was like 24% of the metagame. Why isn't Chunky Red good, and how can we make it better?
So, Chandra's not great right now.
The Torch of Defiance?
Glorybringer's not... Yeah, so Chandra, Glorybringer, both are not great right now, and that's really what it boils down to. They also can't compete with the huge card advantage decks, namely Niv-Mizzet. Niv-Mizzet is really what killed Chunky Red when that deck was doing very well in Pioneer.
Yeah, it got too much value, right?
Yeah, that's a big part
of it. So does Chunky Red just need to go faster? Is it possible to maybe make Chunky Red into like a mono red devotion deck with, I don't know, like Fanatic Amogus or whatever, the one that deals damage equal to the number of red symbols.
Yeah, maybe.
Would that be what it needs? I don't know. Yeah.
That's probably not good. I would try it, but it's not gonna be any good. Is I think where I'm going with that.
I mean, because we've always said like, it's kind of strange that we don't see more devotion decks when there's such a lack of board wipes right now. There's very few.
I mean, there's plenty. You know, I see decks main decking Anger of the Gods right now.
Yeah, it's kind of rare. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure if I would agree with that. I mean, there are decks that play it, but not like popular decks that play it. So as far as like your chances of like running into it are kind of lower than like in past metagames where control is like 10% or 8% of the metagame. All right, another deck, Tamer Energy. So this is, you know, instead of playing the Aetherworks, this is after the Aetherworks got banned, people just went straight up energy. Is this worth playing anymore? Is it worth updating, or do we just need to wait until we get more energy cards? What do you think?
Yeah, we just don't have the energy cards. There's nothing that's so overpowered in those colors that makes me want to be like, oh yeah, yeah, let's do this. It's okay. We just don't have the payoffs. And one thing that Teamer could do really well is play multiple colors, which I think there's other ways to do right now in Pioneer.
I mean, is this deck by itself just not that good anymore? You know, with like the Cub, you know, that lets you get a +1/+1
counter. Yeah, yeah, it's not that good. It's kind of fair. It's another fair deck. It's a fair aggressive deck, and that just hasn't done well in Pioneer in general.
Yeah, doesn't have what it takes. Not strong enough.
No, not quite.
And I would say the other deck that I want to talk about is Gift, the God Pharaoh's Gift decks.
Okay.
I think there's a lot better cards now. As for example, like Agent of Treachery, that would be a great target for this deck. You know, of course, at this time they were using the refurbished. I forgot what it's called.
Yeah, that was one way that they were bringing back God Pharaoh's Gift. I'm trying to think right now what the hate is for Gift. You know, Teferi's probably the biggest problem. Teferi's still plenty existent in the
you mean
format.
Teferi as in the 3-mana Teferi or the 5-mana Teferi?
Yeah, as far as like what stops us from playing God Pharaoh's Gift, and I think Teferi is probably the best answer
there. Does it do that? I mean, it's not a... It removes it from play. It's not played at instant speed, is it? You exile a card.
No, so it doesn't totally stop you, but... I wouldn't love... You know, I guess if you know, you get God Pharaoh's Gift, you get a creature back, and they Teferi bounce your gift. Mm. Like, that doesn't sound amazing for them, because then you still have a 4/4 with haste.
I would think that we have a lot more enablers now. What was it? Emery from Eldraine, putting stuff into the graveyard. I mean, kind of like the same way that people were kind of going off the Kethis combo. I mean, we had a lot of the similar cards in there that you could play in Gift. I think there's like the 0/4 that mills 3 or mills 4.
Yeah.
I would say that it's even better. The current Pioneer pool has some great enablers for graveyard decks. Not only
so
Dredge.
That's the thing, though, is can your deck win without the graveyard? Because we know there's going to be...
Graveyard hate,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you'd have to work on. I mean, as far as like what I would suggest, I mean, there's just so many things. I kind of like the Gear Hulk, you know, the one that makes him sacrifice everything except for one as a way to kind of keep the board fair.
Or what about, is there a way we can build it with, not Urza, Karn? Like, grab God Pharaoh's Gift from your sideboard player?
Yeah, yeah. That would be very cool. I'd like that. Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, it could be like a Gift/artifacts, you know, type deck maybe. So that's something to look
into. Okay, well, we'll have to think about it. Because you still have to have enough creatures in the yard for you to bring back. You know, you don't want to bring back an Uro. That doesn't help you any.
Yeah. I think that pretty much wraps up the decks I wanted to talk about. Was there anything else on your mind that you kind of wanted to briefly go over?
No, I like that. I think we've talked about more recent standard decks before, so I think that, you know, kind of going to the Ghosts of Standard Past and jumping back into
War.
Kind of older decks in the format like this was good for us. I think this hopefully you guys listening, that this brought you guys something you wanted to hear about, some kind of take that's now going to give you the spark to go brew something interesting.
And share your brews.
I know I've got a couple ideas after this that I'm going to go and have to mess with, but... If you guys get anything inspired, go ahead and reach out to us. You can find me on Twitter at MTG Pioneer. You can also find links to our Discord there, mm-hmm. as well as to ways that you can listen to our episodes.
So, yeah, I was going to say, come to our Discord if you're kind of motivated to brew after this. We have a deck list channel that you can, like, put your ideas into. We'd love to see them. You know, we'll talk about them maybe in a future deck. Episode, maybe in a deck tech or something like that. So yes, please come to the Discord.
Yeah, you guys know I'm a big brewer, so any kind of weird brews you got,
we love seeing brews. Yeah,
but that's gonna bring us to the end of our show for today. Thank you guys for listening. Hope that this was entertaining. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. We are your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Your First Pioneers signing off.